This is TW News live from Berlin. Fighting rages in northern Gaza. Israeli soldiers are locked in street-to-street combat with Hamas militants, while Gazan health officials report hundreds killed in recent shelling. Also coming up, pressure on the Israeli government from within. Thousands rally in Tel Aviv demanding that Netanyahu and his ministers step down. And in German soccer, we look back at the first half of the Bundesliga season, where Stuttgart and striker Serhou Guirassy have been big surprises. I'm Nimisha Jaiswal. Welcome to the program. The White House says U.S. President Joe Biden has pressed Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu to protect civilian lives in Gaza. The two leaders spoke at length on Saturday about Israel's war against Hamas militants. They reportedly discussed the objectives of the military campaign in Gaza, but the U.S. stopped short of calling for a ceasefire. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 200 people have been killed by Israeli forces over the past 24 hours. The violence follows a UN Security Council resolution to boost humanitarian aid.
Another day brings more death and destruction to the Gaza Strip. Israeli strikes hitting residential areas, like here in the southern city of Khan Yunis. Relatives burying the victims of the latest attacks. On Friday, Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry said more than 20,000 people have been killed in the Israeli offensive so far, about 1% of the territory's population.
These people are supposed to be safe in their homes and protected by the law. But as a man of the law, I declare that international law has collapsed. We're not allowed to have faith in any international law. It merely represents the law of the weak. If Israel were in the Palestinians' position, the world would not stand still and would act.
The strikes on Saturday came just hours after the UN Security Council approved a watered-down resolution. It avoids calling for a ceasefire, instead the creation of conditions for a sustainable truce. But the UN chief and the Palestinian representative want a halt to the fighting.
This resolution is a step in the right direction. It must be implemented and must be accompanied by massive pressure for an immediate ceasefire. I repeat, immediate ceasefire.
Despite growing international pressure, Israel says any ceasefire would only help Hamas.
If this council seeks to end hostilities, it should start by supporting Israel's mission of returning the hostages and eliminating the Hamas threat, and at the very least, it must prevent Hamas's empowerment. Just as this council is committed to increasing aid, it should also be committed to blocking the smuggling of arms and transfer weapons to the Hamas terrorists.
The UN resolution calls for life-saving aid be rushed to Gaza at scale. With Gaza under full Israeli bombardment, it's unclear if and when this demand can be fulfilled.
Meanwhile, thousands of people have gathered in Tel Aviv to protest against the government. Among them are family members of kidnapped hostages as well as peace activists. They're demanding the resignation of the entire Israeli government and the immediate return of all remaining hostages taken by Hamas militants on October 7th. Hamas, as we know, is considered a terrorist organization by the EU and the US. Our correspondent Jan-Philipp Scholz has more on the protests in Tel Aviv.
Despite the bad weather here in Tel Aviv tonight, thousands have come to the streets. People here say it's one of the biggest protests since the beginning of the war. They demand the release of the hostages, but they also demand the resignation of the Israeli government. At least a lot of the protesters here do. In recent weeks, there have been a lot of political setbacks. Three hostages were accidentally killed by the Israeli army. The negotiations on a new possible hostage deal have not produced any results. There are news emerging that maybe more hostages have been killed. So everybody here knows with every day passing, chances are getting smaller and smaller to free the hostages.
Jan-Philipp Scholz there in Tel Aviv. Let's move on to some other news making headlines around the world. German police have increased security measures at the Cologne Cathedral amid warnings of a possible attack. Police have brought in sniffer dogs and plan to screen worshippers attending midnight mass on Christmas Eve. Reports in the German media cite a heightened threat from Islamist extremists over the holidays. Austrian authorities are also heightening security in public spaces. A main opposition candidate in Democratic Republic of Congo is calling for this week's presidential election to be annulled. Moise Katumbi slammed the poll as chaotic and tainted by massive fraud. Bureaucratic and logistical problems delayed the voting in many areas. The first results put incumbent Felix Tshisekedi in the lead. Yekaterina Dunsova has been barred from running against Russian President Vladimir Putin in next year's election. The 40-year-old former television host submitted her candidacy a few days ago, but the Electoral Commission disqualified her on Saturday, citing alleged mistakes she made during the application process. Dunsova had planned to run as an independent on a platform to end the war in Ukraine and release political prisoners. DW correspondent Jennifer Falca has more on the alleged mistakes that led to the disqualification of Dunsova.
Well, there are, technically speaking, two different versions why she was barred from registering as an official candidate. The first is, of course, the official version, and there is a non-official version. Let's talk about the official version first. And that stated that there were some issues with her paperwork. Members of the election commission, the Central Election Commission in Russia, said that it appeared to them that the application and the paperwork was filled out with haste and very uncarefully, and therefore it did not adhere to legal standards, so they had to bar her from registering. According to the Telegram channel Asterozhna Novosti, there were around 100 typing errors, and also other mistakes that led to her not registering as a candidate. But of course, there's also the unofficial or the non-official version, and experts say that the Kremlin simply did not want to let her register, as she could become very popular very quickly, especially with things not going according to plan for Putin in Ukraine. And therefore, the risk for the Kremlin to let her register and gather more support, because she is, as we know, a candidate that wants peace and release political prisoners, was simply a risk the Kremlin was not willing to take.
Jennifer Falca there, reporting for us. Mexico's president now says he'd help the United States to manage record numbers of migrants trying to cross the U.S. border. In the year to September, officials intercepted over 2.5 million people making the crossing. Many of those from Central America are escaping violence or trying to find work.
Men, women and children wade cautiously across the Rio Grande, the river that separates the U.S. and Mexico. It's a dangerous final step on a long, perilous journey north. Many have risked everything, and they're desperate to make it.
There were rumors that the border was closing for Christmas, so we decided to rush in. It was hard. It was rough. It was unbelievably cold. The situation on the Mexican side is catastrophic.
We came to this border following other people. We heard comments that here the entrance is easier. We've suffered a lot, honestly. It hasn't been easy at all. It's been very difficult. We've had to walk a lot, suffering from hunger and cold, and sleeping in the streets. U.S. border authorities say they're overwhelmed by the number of people arriving, which is at a record high. Officials have counted 10,000 daily crossings in recent weeks. U.S. and Mexican officials will meet next week to discuss stricter controls. Migration is an issue putting increased domestic pressure on U.S. President Joe Biden. The failure of U.S. lawmakers to agree on immigration reform, however, started long before he took office. While any plan remains unclear, many migrants already fear the worst.
Maybe the new policies will affect us because we came from afar, leaving our families behind. If measures are very strict when we reach here, then we won't be able to fulfill the American dream.
It's a dream many are willing to suffer through a nightmare to reach.
To German football now, and Bayern Munich signing England striker Harry Kane was one of the biggest storylines of 2023. But when it comes to the title race, Bayer Leverkusen currently lead the standings at the mid-season break. They're aiming to become the first Bundesliga side to claim the title since Bayern's dominance began more than a decade ago.
Bayer Leverkusen could be on course for a first-ever top-flight title. Under Xabi Alonso, Leverkusen have yet to taste defeat this season. Their talent pool runs deep, with striker Victor Boniface leading the way with 10 goals so far. Adding Patrick Schick, Florian Wirtz, and more to the mix have combined for a serious problem for opponents. Leverkusen have gone 25 games without a loss across all competitions and currently have a slim advantage over Bayern to lead the Bundesliga standings. Speaking of Bayern, Englishman Harry Kane has been billed as King Kane in Munich. The honeymoon is still ongoing since Bayern Munich made the 30-year-old the most expensive signing in Bundesliga history back in August. Kane netted in the season opener and hasn't looked back. He has a league-high 21 goals so far. Kane's got some competition in the Golden Boot race, though, from Stuttgart's Serhou Guirassy. It was Guirassy, not Kane, who lit up the league to start off the season with 8 goals in his first 4 league games. Guirassy has 17 goals with Stuttgart, sitting in Champions League contention. It's quite the turnaround from last season, when Stuttgart finished 16th in the standings and had to survive a relegation battle.
Meanwhile, Ivory Coast is preparing to host the African Cup of Nations, the continent's biggest men's football tournament. 24 teams will take part in the competition in January. Hosting the event required some major investment in infrastructure, but now organizers say Ivory Coast is ready to go.
The African Cup of Nations is coming to Ivory Coast for the first time in 40 years. The country has spent over $1 billion on infrastructure, building 4 new stadiums and renovating 2 more, while also investing in roads and hospitals. A lot of money, but it's a worthy investment, according to the nation's football federation.
Sport in general, and football in particular, is a melting pot where all young people come together. So the infrastructure that's been built is already helping to create an ecosystem and an economy that will be built around it.
Major sporting events have faced scrutiny in recent years due to a trend of expensive new arenas being forgotten after just a few weeks of use. Organizers in Ivory Coast say they want to avoid that.
We hope that after the Cup of Nations, all the infrastructure, whether sporting or otherwise, that we've put in place and built can be used for the development and growth of the country.
And a former member of Ivory Coast's national team, nicknamed the Elephants, says athletes themselves have to make sure the venues remain in use for years to come.
We saw in Gabon after the final in 2012, the stadium became almost like a forest. We need follow-up. The state and the president have made efforts, but now the ball is in the sportsmen and women's court. We have to take care of it.
The recipe for success is clear. Victory for the Elephants during the tournament and no white elephants afterwards.
And finally, families braved Finland's Lapland cold to bid farewell to Santa Claus as he set off on his annual journey around the world delivering gifts to children. Santa wished for world peace after what he said had been a stormy year. And he said the safety and well-being of children should be everyone's goal. Then, like every year, he headed off on his reindeer-drawn sleigh, wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas. Too bad we didn't get that takeoff on camera.